Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Shelby's World. What's up?
What's happening?
How y'all doing?
I hope they doing good out there, the listening audience.
It is Wednesday, January 27th, y'all. We have made it through the first month of the new year. The Woo! New year.
Yes. This is excellent. Excellent. Yes. Excellent.
Yes, ma'am. I'm actually really excited that this month went by the way it did, because that in the way it did, not in the time frame, the length it did, the smoothness of it, January was a really good month.
It was. It was my birthday, so it was. Yeah, I'm grateful because it was a nice month. But you know what? January always goes by fast to me.
It really does.
I think we'd be so excited for the new year that it just, man, it comes so fast. You'd be like, oh, we in February? Oh, we in March? Oh, we in April? Nah, we in May now.
It goes so fast.
It goes by very, very, very fast. It always been like that to me. But I'm grateful. This is a great year so far.
I'm loving it so far. I'm probably going to love it either way. No matter how it goes, I'm probably going to love it anyway, because I always just love being able to be here for it. But irregardless of it, I think that since it's starting off good, that we should be positive and keep yearning and hoping for, you know, the rest of the year to be this way. Manifest. Let's go ahead and speak that power of a positive year into the atmosphere.
Yes. I did a quote yesterday. You know, you can't ask for power. You got to take power.
Right.
Power is not given to you. You got to take it. And if you want it, you got to take it. So, you know, y'all, hey, get out there and take what you want, man. Look, it ain't going to fall on your lap. It don't come that easy.
That's right. So, y'all, we have a very, very special guest today. We have someone that is going to talk to you all about health, wellness, being Black, doing health, being Black in wellness. She's been doing this for a number of years, and it's honestly, to be honest with you, as long as I've known Yashika, she's always been a person that has been believed in the body and the health and the wealth of the body. She's always been athletic, always been in some type of sport, something that has her busy with her body. And you can look at her today and know that she has sustained that portion of her and done well with it, y'all. Now it's her. When you love what you do, it shows. Now it's her full-time gig. I mean, everything, her life is embodied around health and wellness. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we're going to go ahead and get her in this room, bring her to the stage. We got a lot to learn from her today. And I'm so excited, y'all. Let's go ahead and bring Yashika in. Let's bring her in. Chica! Hey. How you doing, girl? Hey. How
welcome.
You doing today?
You got me over here feeling good.
Welcome to Shelby's World Podcast.
Good for you, ladies. Man, this is gonna be good.
Yeah. Did I do you well? Did I give you a good enough introduction?
Listen, you did me good, friend. I did.
Well, you know, we're excited to have you. What, beyond the fact that you do health and wellness with out, you know, with your, but you have worked with Link Up as well and done some things with that. So you have a very broad telescope of umbrella of things that you do. So before we start talking about all what you do, let's go ahead and give our listening audience a little bit of history and a little bit of information about who you are.
All right. Well, again, ladies, thank you so much for having me. You know, I was listening in to the chatter. And you ladies are just, you're phenomenal. Candace, I love you. I can't wait to get to know you better, Queen. I really, really cannot.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Same here. Same here.
Seriously. Yeah. Shelby, you know how I feel about you. Okay. to be honest, I struggle sometimes with really trying to hone in on and keeping it short and concise when I give, you know, background. Because you know, just becoming who you are is such a, it's a journey. And there's so much that entails who I am today. And it's going to change a week from now and a year from now. But in summation, I am, man, I am a woman who, I'm a woman who really has many dimensions. Okay. I'm a Southern girl, number one. My roots are here. I am all the way Southern. So I am still big on things like chivalry. I know this modern technology has taken us really far, but I still love sitting down and writing. I love letters.
Yes.
I'm still very much married to the things of yesterday.
because I feel
those are very significant. They have meaning, right?
That's right.
I'm a mother. I do have three kids. My oldest is about to be 20 whole years old. right, 20 whole years in March.
Wow.
and I'm a wife, but more importantly, I am a powerful woman. And I don't say that to be arrogant. You all put the word out there, and I was in the background giving you snaps because that's a word that we all should embody and embrace. I can truly say that now I am a powerful woman because I understand my purpose and I'm intentional about carrying that out every single day. I understand my source and my connection to source. And I know that I am unstoppable. We all are.
Right.
And so I think that can sum it up.
Queen C, you got anything you want to ask her about her her bio? Look,
I want you to really, I actually, my first time having an encounter with you was when I've seen you do, you was a speaker at Felicia's first event she did. And you broke down, would you please tell our audience the breakdown of your actually name?
Oh, wow. Yeah, first of all, we did another event. Queens with Dreams was the event with Felicia Jackson Stanley. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing event. I remember at that event discussing, we were really talking about purpose and myself coming into self-awareness of who I am, right? My entire life, I never really owned something as simple as my name. I had no idea, first of all, that my name had a meaning. Because, you know, we're Black. Our
right.
families, we'll piece some names together. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, we'll piece some things together, and it doesn't really have any significant meaning. So my entire life, I never really felt like my name had any meaning. I just thought it was I knew it was a name my mother heard on The Price is Right. At the time she was watching and they were giving away a Yashica camera. The Yashica was a company in Japan back then. They made electronics. And she was pregnant. Here I am in her belly cooking. And she heard the name and she just thought, huh, I like that name. She named me Yashica. So we were like, that's the mom, really? There's no death, no anything behind it. She didn't know it. Lord knows I didn't know it. My name is rarely pronounced correct. So my entire life is always struggled with it, you know, getting people learn how to enunciate the name, that whole thing. And it's so funny because the year I started really wanted to know who I was, and it was around the age of 30. Because y'all, I had been searching. Like I didn't know. I knew my dreams shifted when I became a mother. I became a mother at 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Senior in high school, I became a mother. And so I had aspirations of doing, you know, going off to college. I could have accepted an opportunity to run in London. And that was what I knew. That was what I was going to do. Really I didn't know anything else. Besides writing, I wanted to be a writer maybe
right.
in some way or another. And so I just didn't know. I tried to, and there are so many things I could do. I was just everywhere. And so when I really wanted to get to the point of purpose, I just started honing in. And for some reason, my name, I went to a bank one day. Went to a bank, and there was a lady, she was Indian, and she asked me how to pronounce my name. I told her. And she said, do you know what your name means in Hindu? I said,
my name is Hindu.
I had no idea my name was Hindu. And she said, go and look your name up. But the spelling is different. right? So I went in, typed in your secret name meaning, and in bold, it said success. It was simply success.
Wow. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Now, that for me, what that meant for me, a person who had no idea where she's supposed to be, what she was supposed to be doing, I knew my potential to hear that the very name that was chosen for me was out of my mother's control. She wasn't being intentional about it. I felt like that was a direct message to me from my creator. That was a direct message to me. Like, if nothing else, this is who you are. Like, you go out there, you create that thing, but I'm telling you, it's in you, you know?
I love that.
That pushed me forward on a whole other journey, the meaning of my name. So I wear that loud and proud now.
Yes, yes.
I love that.
Yes. Love it.
I did not know that.
About 8 years ago.
And that every time I see you, that stand, I was like, that meaning of her name.
Wow.
And you told that story that day at that event, and I was like, wow.
That's really amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing. And to know you learned that from someone in the bank that your name
someone
was
in the bank. And it was supposed to happen. You know, nothing happens by chance. But no. I think at that age, I was ready to come into who I truly needed to be or who I've been called to be. And so, you know, people face along my path that kind of got me there. She was supposed to be there that day, that time.
Yeah.
Because I was ready to receive.
That's right. Because you already had been searching. Yes. You wanted answers. Right. You know, and I don't think that, like, you were, because listening to you, it doesn't sound like you were seeking answers about just who you are. Right. You wanted to know more in-depth things. You were seeking ways to find out where you may be going now so that you can have some history of yourself because you were becoming a parent. Things changed, like you said. So that's amazing. And when Queen stepped on and said that's how where she met you and heard you, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need another conference. That was a great conference too.
It was real good. It was definitely good.
She should definitely do more though. She does really good stuff. Anytime she does stuff like that, it's always a success. Agreed. and it brings powerful growth and shifting inside of the woman. I love her. I love how she operates.
Yeah.
So normally on our show, we do a quote and a fact of the day.
Okay.
And I kind of do something that I can mesh together that have some type of similarity to each other. Mm-hmm. Today, we're going to have our quote and our facts based on health and wellness and of that in the Black culture. Okay. But it won't be the way I normally do with my quotes because I got so involved with looking up facts the other day, you know, learning about it. I couldn't just choose one.
Right.
So, and same thing with the quotes. I just ended up printing out quotes that women who work in the healthcare field or have to experience health issues in our culture and how they felt and what they had to deal with. Those are going to be some of our topics of discussion for today. And we're also kind of going to ask you some general interview questions because Queen got called back in to do a few other things today, so which is why we don't have a picture today.
Y'all don't see my face today. I
mean, I like what we see now. You got some. This is a nice picture that's up there now.
You know, that's it's that 40-year-old picture there. That's that 40-year-old picture.
It's
thank you, love.
It's really nice. So I saw some things on this. I was reading an article and it was on Becker's Hospital Reviews.com. Uh-huh. And I looked up some quotes and I was just thinking of more so quotes along the lines of health and wellness. But these are quotes that are by Black women who are in the health and wellness field, and they reveal the fields of pervasive racism.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're going to go with the quotes today. Now, the facts are more on the wellness side, definitely health and wellness. But so The Cut recently interviewed Black women working as leaders in the medical and wellness industries to better understand the microaggressions, hostilities, exploitation, discrimination, and other issues along the health field that are that they are facing. And below are 8 quotes from the interview. So I'm gonna read you one of the ones that stuck out to me, and I was like, "Dang,
okay, give it to me."
We still in this?
It down, by the way.
Yes, take notes, please. Write it down, please. Write it down.
Okay, so that's so crazy. So it says, when we do call out folks for stealing our works, we are giving a half-assed apology, and folks expect us to just receive it and go on our merry way. This is what a Los Angeles trauma specialist and sex educator had to say in regard to how they're treated in their field when they're dealing with other races. Hmm. Now, their health, these are people who are 12 to 15 to 20 years in their field, and they're not being taken seriously about the health and the wellness of what they do because they're Black.
Right.
So
right.
She said people have to be held accountable for their actions, especially if they're making money off of our works, our backs, and our likeness. Now tell me what y'all think of that. Do I need to say it over? Because I did interrupt myself. I kind of started explaining stuff. Y'all, should I repeat the whole thing?
Once more, please.
Okay. When we do call out folks for stealing our work, we are giving a half-assed apology, and folks expect us to just receive it and go on our merry way. No, people have to be held accountable for their actions, especially if they are making money off of our work, our backs, and our likeness.
Hmm.
And that is healthcare professional Jelminica Eborn.
So she's calling out, she's talking with this quote, she's saying that when we call out others who are taking our work, right, outside of the culture. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm nodding, but when this go up for audio, they can't hear my...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I absolutely agree. It all goes back to, and it's with everything now. I mean, now the thing is that we're living in an era where we clearly know that things are not, they're not nearly as smooth as they should be when it comes to racism. Period. Right.
Yeah.
I feel like the thing that we should do is continue to put our faith, our words on whatever it is that we do, and continue to make it clear about us being the source that came from us. We need to be clear about continuing to let others know where it came from, where it was produced. Taking things from Black culture, I think, is the easiest thing for society to do. They've been profiting off of it since we started building the society. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I feel like now, though, as a people, the difference is that we have a level of boldness that we did not have before. And so what we need to do, now I don't necessarily feel like when we call people out, it's like we're giving a half apology. Because I really don't feel like we need the half apology should be there, period. What are we apologizing for? Period.
No, she's saying that people are giving us half apology.
I see what you're saying. Okay, right.
And no accountability.
If they apologize, honestly.
Right.
But my thing is the best resolution when we do call people out and they apologize, the best resolution is for them to make it different next time. Nothing change is what continues to open the wound. You know what I mean?
That's right.
If there's an apology followed by things being done differently, I feel like we can be a place where we can kind of move on.
That's right.
We're seeing apologizing and then the same thing happening over and over again.
Yeah.
So have you experienced any of that type of, issues where people are verbatimly copying your dynamic and not giving you credit for it?
You know what? Honestly, I haven't experienced that. Not that I know of anyway. I have not experienced that, but let me just say that I do believe that, a great deal of that is because, I pretty much decided to work for me so that I can do things my way and not have to create something to hand over to somebody above me and risk them
putting. Come on now. Come on now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and so when you see people doing things like you, it's, you know, a lot of it is okay. They admire the way I did it, and that's okay. But I for the past few years, I have been out of that realm of creating for another person to hand it over and have them take the acknowledgement for it. You know. Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like your response to that because, and another, I like your response to that for one, because that lets you know that what you're doing is ever changing. Uh-huh. You're always building and adding to your ideas and your, what you offer. Right. So it's not a limited subset.
Right. No.
It's not a limited subset.
Absolutely.
And that makes things hard to mimic anyway. When you're and that's the thing about women in general.
Yeah.
You know, you can't hold us down to a certain standard. We're gonna always do things like to change the dynamic of what we offer. So right. If we feel like, especially in a field of your own, you can do yoga and focus on yoga 1 month. Go over to strength training the next month. Well, you know, keep switching it up to the point where no one can ever get comfortable with what you do.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And if I want to do yoga with trap music, I can do that. And if I want to do yoga to jazz, I can do that as well. Yeah, absolutely. Because we're not one-dimensional people. You know what
no.
I mean? Like, that's learned. It's so learned to have to be in a certain vein and do things a certain way. You know what yes. I mean? So to what you said, as far as women, we're going to continue to create things and you can't hold us to our limits. That's very true to those who are aware. To those who are aware that we are, you know, multifaceted, positive people.
Yeah, yes.
But many of us haven't tapped into that awareness either. And so we just walk that line, you know?
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
That's very true. So let's see. I have another one that I want to use, and then I'm going to go over to some of my facts.
Okay.
A classic experience in the wellness world is wanting to be seen to be good and right and wanting to do racial justice, working in a superficial way that allows white and white passing folks to do something without actually making the major shifts required for authentic anti-racism.
Hmm.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
And she's a,
that's loaded.
That is. Yeah. That was a lot. But let me say who she is.
Okay.
Her name is Rachel Ricketts, and she's a Toronto spiritual wellness author and racial injustice educator. So her field isn't just dynamic with actually performing health and wellness. She's fighting for people who perform health and wellness.
Okay. So she's fighting for the needs of the world.
Exactly.
Okay.
So again, it says a classic experience in the wellness world is wanting to be seen to be good and right, mm-hmm. and wanting to do racial justice work in a superficial way that allows white and white passing folks to do something without actually making the major shifts required for authentic anti-racism. Queen C, you know you can jump in on this now. Just because your face ain't on here, don't just be...
Look, I'm still trying to process the question.
No, seriously,
though,
Queen C. That is, I'm processing too. I am. Because there's right, I want to be seen, but then doing things in a superficial way, that's a whole thing in itself.
It is.
So it's a lot of processing that has to come with that one.
So let's take the first line.
Okay.
Because
break it down.
Yeah.
Because this is what kind of stuck out to me first.
Okay.
The classic experience in the wellness world is wanting to be seen mm-hmm. doing good and right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with that particular sentence, we already know where she's coming from with that.
Uh-huh.
We kind of know that she's saying that people would rather think that they're doing good and right actually versus doing the work of doing good and right.
There you go.
Okay.
Yep.
And then wanting to do racial justice in a superficial way that allows white and white passing folk to do something without actually making any major shifts. So this is big.
Just the surface.
Yes. And the reason why this is big is because even with where we are now, we got a new president.
Right.
And people have so many high expectations with this new president because we're black.
Yeah.
And we just feel like every time a president come, they're going to save black people. They're going to do right by us. They're going to do this, do this, do this. So, and they make these, they'll tell you this while they're campaigning and doing certain things without actually making these major shifts actually that are required to prevent authentic anti-racism. I think in whole, she just calling people out for being, for making promises and not sticking to what they're
not delivering on.
Exactly. And basically she's saying that you're allowed to get away with that type of stuff the lighter your skin is.
Okay. Yeah, that takes on a whole different meaning. Hold on, because I'm writing it down. I take notes a lot, y'all. No joke.
That's privileged lifestyle.
So, Quinn, you said it's the privileged lifestyle.
That's that privileged lifestyle. And black, it could be black and white. It could be all races that have that privileged lifestyle. Like some of the celebrity kids, a lot of those kids, they don't deal with what our kids deal with on an everyday basis because they have that privileged lifestyle. And then when we get into talking about color and stuff, look, all of us up here are dark-skinned women.
Right.
Somebody lighter skin that's still black will be looked at totally different than us three that's right here that's talking.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Because they have that lighter skin tone. That don't mean they right.
Right.
But they will listen to that person before they listen to us.
Right. I don't know where that, I know where that begins. I know where the, of course we know where colorism began. But okay, within our own culture, right? Are we perpetuating that? Are we, you know what I mean, just the ongoing? Are we doing that within ourselves, which makes it that much easier for them to be able to do it, for them to be able to, you know, accept it? Because I feel like there's racism, but then within our culture, there's also the colorism. And so it's a double-edged sword. Like within ourselves, we should all be proudly, happily, powerfully black, period.
Period.
Not these degrees based on skin tone. And we should not accept. Okay, perfect example, right? Hollywood. We've come to a place now where we are seeing many, many more women of darker skin tones be on the screen. You know what I mean? Being on the screen, having leading roles, and that kind of thing. Because I feel like we came together and demanded that Hollywood let us in. You see what I'm saying? And so I think that's the type of thing that has to continue. I feel like when one of us does get there, it's our responsibility to be able to demand that we, you know, as a not just because we're lighter skinned, but all of our beauty is accepted. You
that's know, right.
Dark, light, whatever. We are talented people. We are powerful people. We need to be here. We have to make that demand from them. And I feel like they know. They know. It's just that they've been able to do it because, again, we haven't band together strong enough to make that demand. And it's starting to happen now. I think the crazy part is that we're really starting to tap into our power now as a culture together. I don't know what's going to happen 5-10 years down the road because we are really shaking things up. But I feel like that's what has to continue. You know what I mean? It's always within us. We got to do it within ourselves first. And then put the demand on them.
I totally agree with that. I most certainly think that I don't know where, for one, I don't know what happened on that day where everybody was talking about tapping into their power. I never heard of that. But that was hilarious to me. Because one thing I've always felt like being a darker person, growing up in this skin, having to accept that, and learning that black is beautiful, but also being harassed, bullied, all of that because of the color of my skin, it made me, you know, realize that there's a reason why people don't like this skin. And it's because this skin holds so much weight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And but anybody who bullied me, and anybody who bullied me was always of my race. It was never, but that's only, that's also due to the fact that we're, we, what we're around is who we harm.
That's true.
It is never, you know, we don't, we're not dealing with white people on a regular day basis in our lives beyond school. So that's who we interact with the most.
Right. That's true.
So that systematic racism, it starts in the homes.
Yes, it does.
And the reason why we're so ruined as a culture and we are so addicted to this colorism is because we have ongoing generations who have been taught to hate themselves
right
within society and in their own home. So that's where the change comes in. Parents now, I mean, there's still some rotten ass parents out there, trust me. But parents now are telling their kids from birth they're beautiful.
Yeah,
they're telling their kids from birth how pretty they are, how special they are, how much power they have in them while they're born, when they're born. Because if we don't start doing that now, then somebody on the outside can tell them just as fast how fucked up they black skin is.
And they will. They absolutely will. So they have to be.
And they will. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So if we're not already building up the skin of our children to be able to really be rubble, let it bounce off for real.
That's right.
Then we're ruining ourselves. Look how much hatred. Look how much hatred there is in our little city of Tallahassee within our culture. There are kids being murdered by their own. Kids being bullied by their own. Mothers hate their sons. Fathers hate their daughters. Vice versa. Like, there's, if there's not going to be love taught, then we will never have a changed society. So I do believe in the fact that a lot of people are tapping into power that they already had that they didn't know they had.
Right.
But I also think that the only way it's going to continue to stay in them is if it's happening in their homes.
In the homes. Yeah.
In the home.
That's it.
You got to tell them. I used to tell my son and my daughter, I used to make my son actually look in the mirror every morning when he was in elementary school and just tell him, son, you are so handsome. When you get up, you say how handsome yourself is. You tell your own self how handsome and how beautiful you actually is.
That's
and you
right.
got to constantly tell your kids that. And I know I did it because that's what my dad, my uncles, my family, they always said, you're so pretty. We always complimented each other.
Right. And you believe
so it was something that was actually taught. It not all the time, but I knew like, oh man, I know I'm pretty. You can say what you want to say.
Right.
I remember in middle school, it was me and one of my friends, and she's lighter skinned than I am. And I remember, and the two boys was trying to talk to us. Both of them really wanted to talk to her.
Uh-huh.
And it was so crazy because one of them, he was dark. I mean, darker than me. He was dark. And he was just like, she's too black. And I heard him, but I was like, wow. But I'm like, I'm black, but I'm showing up pretty. That's what my daddy told me. I'm black, but I'm pretty, though. Like, I don't care what you say. But I was just like, but that was my first time, really, to be honest with you, that was my first time ever experiencing that sixth grade Fairview Middle School, me and my friend. And I was just like, wow. But I was like, I've been taught that I was pretty all my life. So you can say what you want to say. I might be black, but I'm still pretty, though.
That's it.
And that's where it starts.
Yeah, you have to tell your kids. And just like you say, it starts at home.
Yes, it does.
You have to tell them. You have to constantly tell them how beautiful they are, how handsome they are. You know, you a king, you a queen, you know, you got the power. You can do anything that you want to do. And if you're going to lead, you lead by example because you have people that's following you. But you got to lead by example and you got to lead great. But you have to tell these kids. And I feel bad for a lot of them because a lot of kids are not told how good they are, how great they are, how beautiful they actually are. And it's sad. And now we're dealing with, look what we're dealing with now.
Yeah,
they're killing each other because they looked up It's crazy, man. It is crazy.
That's the root of it. That's the root of it. The home. That's everything. And so the more the parents are detached from the home, the more the kids are going to be detached out in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely the foundation.
So, Queen Chica, tell me this. Yes. Explain to us how health and wellness affects lower income people, lower income Black people, because we're going to focus today's topic more along the lines of our culture.
Okay.
Explain to us, give us some understanding examples of how this is happening and affecting our culture and what we can do to shift that.
Okay. So let me just say that when it comes to, you know, our people, lower level or impoverished people of color, it's easy to say that, you know, it's economic, you know, because of the money, you can't afford to buy these healthy foods if you're making, you know, this amount of money, or if you only have fast food restaurants surrounded by you. All these things are true, right? So you don't have the resources accessible to you. All these things are very, very true. But what I feel, and in my personal experience, what hinders us as a people from being well, now we're not talking about, you know, people talk about, you know, being well, and they really just talk about, you know, I don't know, something that pertains to exercise and fitness, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not being overweight. That is the result of not being well within.
Right.
You know what I mean? So whatever is going on inside of you, your body just exemplifies that. So there are so many ways that we can begin to cultivate wellness within and have it show up in our health. The number one wall to us being completely well is that, honestly, we are more consumed. We think about if we're making less money, right? We are dealing with a different level of stress than those who are making more money. You know what I mean? If you are going to a job every single day that you have to go to just to pay the bills, and you are still barely paying the bills, and you have kids who need this and kids who need that, we're stressed all the time, number one. That's the biggest thing. We are completely just stressed and consumed with trying to survive, not even live, trying to survive. No one, who's thinking about trying to exercise and get up and move when you got to think about where your meals are going to come from, period. Whether that's ramen noodles or a salad. You know what I mean?
That's real.
We are too consumed because of the economic state. We're just trying to survive. And I think that is the biggest hindrance. And so everything just becomes, you know, we do what we have to do just to get by. And of course, the health it shows up in that way. So I think that where we have to start when we're dealing with Black people who are on the lower income level, and this is me speaking from experience, is that we have to start to recognize that health begins within, and it's total. Wellness is a total wheel, all right, of mind, body, and spirit. Most people are trying to go backwards and getting the body to change when they should be doing the internal work first. Now, the internal work doesn't take financial investment. The internal work only takes the time. And it only takes consistency to be able to recognize your stressors and take moments to be able to get your mind in a place where it is focused on well-being, period. Because what people don't realize is that when you're stressed, your body responds in an adverse way. That's how you know we weren't designed to handle stress. We literally were not equipped to handle stress. So studies have shown that when a person's under stress, their blood begins to either flow faster than what it should or slower than what it should. Either way, it shows up in your body for as weight gain, or for some people as they begin to get rashes and skin issues. For some people, they begin to take on things, other diseases, like hypertension and things of that nature, all stem from stress. So the number one thing is, if we're trying to, we can't get around going out and trying to survive, right? But I am an advocate for at least recognize that well-being is the center, and begin to set aside time in your day to at least sit and clear your mind and set your mind on good things. We wake up and we just go with the flow. We wake up at a certain time, we get dressed with just enough time to go out the door, have time to go eat breakfast, but just enough time to go out the door, get the kids off to school, we go to work.
Girl, stop calling out my life like that.
All of our lives, friend. All of our lives. Look, we come home, it's time to cook. Maybe, you know, you got an hour maybe before it's time to take a shower, go to bed. And you repeat it over and over and over and again, over. Right? Not even realizing the mental state that you're in. Half time you don't realize stress until it hits you flat in the face.
Yeah.
And it's been festering. So I'm an advocate for nurturing your well-being. See, most people, they do this thing. That's what I'm very, very, very particular about, people just saying, are you a fitness trainer? Well, yeah, I am. I do have a certified training certificate. But to be honest with you, the depth of the work is in what is in getting inside of a person and helping them to realize the internal things that need to change. And as a result, the physical thing, it starts to change. Yeah, I mean, because look, I heard this guy say, Bob Proctor. He's really big when it comes to, you know, attraction and us as creators and really manifesting things in your life, right? Mm-hmm. He said that, and it blew my mind. But the will of development should be more. It should be more, do more, have more. Right? We all try to start at half more. We all want more things. We want more health. We want more money. We want more. And it should be more, do more, have more. You will begin to have more when you become more. And when you become more, you automatically start to do more. And the work that you do brings you more. You know,
bring you.
That's the type. So that's what we need to start at. And getting back to your initial question, that's what we need to start on a economic level, because we should be focusing on dollars and cents and the barriers that's keeping us from eating the way we should. Because honestly, it's about making small changes day to day. Those things will eventually show up if you continue to make the small changes. But you have to be more first. You have to be more first, and you cannot if you're constantly in a robotic state of just getting up and surviving. You know what I mean? Like you gotta tune that mind. You gotta set your mind to what you want to do every single day. You gotta find a way to become one with yourself throughout the day. If not, you know, life just does us. So I think the best thing we can get ourselves, if we don't have the money or we're in the economic state, is at least begin to learn to practice meditation. Hear your own thoughts.
You know, learning how to become less stressful. Taking it all off the table and just saying, I'm going to just be me today.
Just be you and hear you. Hear your thoughts. A lot of times our minds are trying to tell us, like we're generating ideas all the time. Like the answer to us getting out of poverty half the time, we can't even hear it. It's not right. Like we're natural creators. We just we don't have the time or the space because we're constantly stressed. So meditation costs nothing, but it brings great rewards. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That should be our start.
So you brought up some very, very interesting points in your breaking this down for us, which leads to one of the facts. Stressful and racist experiences bring on an increase in inflammation in African Americans. Chronic inflammation contributes to several of the diseases showing racial disparities.
Yeah.
That you broke down a significant reason why this exists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's where it was. I was 3 years ago, Shelby. What are we, 2021? Okay. 2017, just to be transparent. 2017, you all, I was still living under government assistance. I mean, not just a portion of it, fully, completely. Okay. At 35. You know what I mean? I mean, literally still paying, you know, just a fraction of rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Literally. 3 years ago. Three and a half years ago. And so I know what it was. You know what, though? You know what I saw surrounded by me every single day in the state that I was living in? I saw people coming from work, sitting out on their stoop or their patios, drinking, You know what I mean? You know, whatever they had to do just to, I guess, get ready for the next day. I heard them talking about their stressors. I saw them, you know, literally just acting out exactly what they were in the middle of, which is, we all do that because, I mean, we can only do or be what we're planning in, right? But what I did that was different, I think that I know for sure the only thing that really set me apart is that I had tapped into the power of wellness. And I would go out in the middle of my housing community with my little mat, and I would stretch, I would do yoga, I would get out, I would jog, I would exercise. And you know what? There wasn't a time that the person saw me and they weren't intrigued. Like, what are you doing? It was not the norm. It's not the norm to be inside of a community, but when everybody's trying to work and survive, here I am exercising, meditating. Everybody's intrigued by it.
You took your stress off your mind. Yes. You decided yourself that stress was no longer going to be the major factor in how you move daily. And that is one of the biggest. And honestly, if people thought more along those lines, you would use those housing communities as ways to come up. Listen, that's what they're there for. They're not there to, well, you know, systematically they're there to keep you there. But in mindset, in hindsight, these communities are there to give us the time to get ourselves to a level so that we can step outside of those communities.
That's what it should be.
While you're living there, you shouldn't be stressed.
There you go. There you go. That's what it should be. But then they have to be aware of it too. Like You know what I mean? There has to be a messenger, and that's what they're not doing. They're not putting those type of programs. That's something that I definitely aspire to do. That's a little, those type of programs are not in place there. And so again, when you see, all you see is the one thing, and all you go to sleep to is that thing. That's just all you're gonna put out. Just period. That's all that's in you. So the awareness, that's the only difference for me. I was made aware of it. You know, I read, I came across things that intrigued me, and I tampered with it. You know, it was just the awareness of it. Yeah.
That's actually a beautiful story. Because I don't know too many people that take that type of approach with I didn't start taking that type of approach until the middle of 2020, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Having to learn how to take everything out of my mind and having a really, really a day of relief. I do those at least once a month. I don't care what's going on that day. It's the same day every month. So whatever may be coming up on that day, it has to get put to the side because this is my day. This is my day.
That's every good, month, Shelby. You owe it. You do.
I had to learn how to say, you know what? I'm tired of this.
That's it.
You know, what do I do when I'm tired of things?
There you go.
And you know, normally I know what to do. If I'm tired, I would put it to the side. I drop it. It's done. I'm done with it. Uh-huh. I'm tired of. But you know, when it gets to other levels, when you have children, when you have bills, when you have day to day stuff going on in your life, you cannot just say, "I'm tired of this," and just feel like it's over. But for one day, you can.
Right.
And so if I can't,
they can respect it. They can know it. The kid. That's one thing I always advise women to do. If I'm coaching someone and they're trying to make this lifestyle change, that's one thing. What you must do is you have to create a sense of urgency around it, and you have to. You did the prime thing is that you said it's one day, and it's always the same day. All right, that shows intention. It shows it's serious, and then your girls know it. You know what? Today's mom's day. They respect it. They know it. You know what I mean? That's the key, because you're creating habits. That's all you're doing. You're creating habits. If you do it consistently, it won't feel like work. Eventually, it just becomes a part of who you are. You know what I mean? So you did the key thing.
Carry
it out.
And Queen, she probably won't. I don't know if she's gonna get able to click back on, but she's heading back in to take care of her clients. So she's showing, but she may not be able to jump back in. But you. You had the on your fit challenges going on, right? Mm-hmm. So my kids saw me every day doing these fits, and they like, these mama in these challenges. Lord. So now they still see me doing this stuff. And they're like, mom, the challenge still going on? And I was like, no.
Right. Exactly.
I just like doing it now. Now it's just a part of a daily routine, a daily regimen. And you know, one thing, like you said, with intention, one thing I've learned with implementing these things into my daily routines or into my weekly routines is that they become a part of a cycle, just like eating, using the restroom. I think I was doing my squats this morning while I was brushing my teeth, and my daughter was like, you know what? I'm about sick of her.
You got it bad in a good way. In a good way.
She goes, girl, I'll drink my wine and do my squat. I don't care.
Listen,
they're going to get done because I don't have, you know, you got a limited amount of time. When I get home in the evening, before my eyes start saying I'm going to bed, I go to bed. My eyes start closing up on me at 9 o'clock.
Now you're hitting on key things because all we'll ever have is 24 hours in the day. And it's you're going to stress yourself out. And it's really not attainable to try to factor in all these things around your already crazy busy schedule. The only thing you can do is to try to find these little openings. Because, look, there are a lot of times doing that is just wasted, to be honest with you.
Right.
Wasted. And find those little spaces like you do to just insert it. And insert it often. Do it as often as you can. And it just, again, it just becomes who you are because that's how we work. We work. We're habit. We're habit people.
Yeah.
We do what we do all the time. You know what I mean? But you got to make the time to do it. That's it.
So not only just dealing with the, because I know you say you want to get into the communities. You say that's something you want to do. You have a vision for that. So not only about getting into the impoverished communities, knowing where you come from is a reason to want to always go and give back.
Yeah.
But beyond the fact that you come from a community as such, because how do you, if it's not even an impoverished community, how do you do what you do to make Black people more inclined? And I'm asking this because, yes, I see your videos. Mm-hmm. Yes, I see them. And for me, that's inspiration for me because I've already been involved in doing some of these things. I've seen the techniques. I like what I see. I used to go to the gym all the time. Now I just got to a point where it's like, whew. So... for someone that wants to step into that limelight of starting to get more involved in their health and wealth, where do you urge them to begin beyond the time of making the time?
Okay. That's a really, really good question. That's a really good question. Okay. So here's what I know. I know when it comes to making a change, and of course, you know, get into exercise, if you're not, of course, used to it, get into exercise and health, it's a change. And it doesn't happen by just saying you want to change. But making a change requires a lot of things to change. And so the biggest thing is that what I do know for sure is that if it's something that is too complicated, all right, you may start it, but you're going to throw in the towel. If it's something that is not easily accessible, okay, then you run into excuses. Well, I couldn't make it there today. I couldn't make it to the gym, or it was didn't feel like going. I don't know. It was raining, and you know, anything like that. So I always urge people to just start right where they are with things like what you do. Just start moving more in your home. If we're talking exclusively about health and wellness. Just start right in your home, but where you are. Actually, On Your Fit was created with that in mind. So at this point, On Your Fit is a full online fitness training business, right? And my entire focus is empowering women to bring health home. Because at the end of the day, we have so many things going on here that it's just honestly sometimes not realistic, and it's just downright hard to get away to a trainer, to get away to go to the gym. And you know what I mean? So it's just about doing the little things often right in your home. So you know for sure that, let's just say weight loss, if weight loss is a goal, you know for sure the number one thing you need to be doing, okay, is taking in less calories and burning off more. Okay, so you start to change the way you eat just a little bit. It does not mean you go through an extreme diet of stripping yourself away. You set yourself up for failure every single time. My advice is always just to start small with little progresses, right? And then that gets easier, then you can move to another phase. we're talking about making a lifestyle change. That's something that you want to endure for years and years to come, not just for a few months. And then you're right back, you know, to square one. The problem is that we're trying to set these big, huge goals. So right where you are, the number one thing you can do is small things like stop eating fried foods. Okay. I wouldn't even say stop cold turkey. I would say take yourself, if you're not already there, give yourself a treat of just one time a week and see what difference that'll make. Just once a week. Pull away from sodas on a regular basis. Still give yourself that one time a week treat. So now you're not depriving yourself of something that you love, but your body is going to begin to automatically respond in a different state because now you're not giving it so much of the bad stuff.
All right? It might start pushing it away completely and rejecting it.
Actually, that's usually what happens eventually. That's usually what happens. See, we have to start again. We have to start small. Start where we are. We see the people who've already arrived, quote unquote, arrive, and we're trying to jump from zero all the way to where they are now. No, it doesn't work like that. Now, if you're trying to attain it, so just start small. Pull back and give yourself one day. It's really about just exercise and discipline the majority of the days. If you see me, I always say this. I say, if you see me out on a Friday night with Steve Cherry, you are 9 times out of 10 see a frozen margarita in my hand, okay? Mm-hmm. And you probably will see some boneless wings or something. I love wings, all right? But please believe that 6 days prior to that, I am disciplined, I am focused, I'm giving my body what it needs so that on that one day, I can have my cake and eat it too, and I do. And I don't feel bad about it because on the majority of the time, I'm giving my body what it needs. So it just starts with, in your home, doing more of the good things more often than the bad things. If you're sitting on the couch, you come home from work, find just 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes. And I do this type of thing through On Your Fit. For those who have memberships, I do this type of thing through On Your Fit. 15 minutes, no weight, being able to have 15 minutes of movement. That's it. Because now you may be sitting on it. 15 minutes doesn't sound like a much, but if you come home every day and doing nothing, guess what?
It's a lot.
Your body is doing more work than what it does before. So I just always advise them to just start with something more than what you're doing now. That's just to make it simple. And then you'll feel when it becomes too easy, too normal, too natural, now it's time to elevate and go to another level or seek someone out to help you go to another level. But too many of us are not starting at
square at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
And first thing, exactly. And coming from someone that definitely, I've always hated exercising. Mm-hmm. I've only hated it only just for the fact that we did it in high school in the sun. So I hated the sun. I was just not a proponent of the sun. So, but when I realized that there are other ways to do it, uh-huh, I became more flexible with that. Uh-huh. And being a person that had to get more involved in trying to show my children, because my kids are not the type of children who want to exercise.
Yeah.
They don't want to be physically moving all day. This is their excuse. We climb stairs all day. Yeah. We do this. We do this. We walk all day. We do this. But one of my children plays softball. The other one don't do nothing.
Right.
So my goal is every day, and because when they see me and they tell me this all the time, I think so much. I think my children think I'm still young for the simple fact that they forget my age.
That's good.
Yeah, well, it's not, but what I'm trying to show them is that there's a reason you guys forget how I look. Uh-huh. I mean, how old I am. There's a reason for that. Uh-huh. It's not just because of the fact that I look young. It's because I still move and I still do things that y'all think that young people do. So
exactly.
If you guys want to still be like this at my age, you're going to need to start working on that now. As a kid, regardless of me not wanting to move, I always was moving. I was always doing something, working in track or when I was a majorette, oh my God, they treated us like football players. You know what I'm saying? Or in prep club, when I did anything we did that was outside, we had to, or anything we had to do exercise related or athletic related, we were always moving.
Right.
If you get tired so easily, you need to work on that. And at the age of 38, I have so much energy because I implement a freaking 30-minute exercise program into my daily life. 30 minutes.
That's it. Oh, shit.
So, and that's like not even all together at one time sometime, because I may be at work and I'm be like, okay, I got 15 minute break, let me go do me some walking and some cardio, let me go climb these stairs. Let me go do this. So watching you, don't think that, you know, I'm sure you know you already motivate people, but your encouragement goes a long way. People sharing posts and saying this is a reason. The reason why I wanted to bring you on is because it is the beginning of the new year. Yeah. People are in these New Year's resolutions. They have these goals, and I want them to see that there's someone that looks like them that is willing to show you guys that this is something you can do all year, not just in the first month.
Absolutely. Something that you know what? Something that we got to change the phrasing too. Just general. It's something that needs to be done. It's listen, not the way I do it, not necessarily the way I do it, not necessarily the way the IG fitness, you know, some of them are, that's a whole other thing, but not necessarily the way you see others do it, right? But it must be done. Like, literally, your life depends.
It does. Your
life literally depends on this. And so it's not like it's something that we should be. It's like breathing. Like, it's as vital as breathing. You know what I mean? And I think when we begin to alter how we prioritize health and wellness, we'll begin to carry it out with more of a sense of urgency, definitely with more intention. So you have more intention. You know what I mean? Yeah, you're not hyped about it, but you know you need it. And so, and you're not just saying it, because most people, they know they need it and they say they need it, but you are intentional about carrying it out. And that's what we have to get to as a people. The conversation must be, you know, when are you going to be exercising? How are you eating? And just knowing that we have to do better about our health and well-being, because honestly, that's what's that's taking us out. It's taking us out at a significant rate. It really, really is. And it's just time for that conversation to change. And I don't want to be. We're seeing change. I mean, I can go into.
We are
more women of color than I've seen over the past, you know, few years. So we are becoming more aware of it, more cautious of it. I think we have to take the cosmetics out of it, take the commercial stuff out of it, and get down to the core of the fact that it's not about looking a certain way or exercising just to have your body look a certain way or to be able to wear this type of bikini or bathing suit. We have to put some real life meaning behind doing it. You know what I mean? And that's it.
And like you said, it's taking us out. And cardiovascular disease it kills nearly 50,000 Black women annually.
Man, yeah, it's no joke. And you know what? It's something that can be controlled. Most of it is something that can be controlled. It's lifestyle habits.
It's lifestyle
that can be controlled. Now, you know what? Next month is actually National Heart Awareness Month too. So
really, are you gonna do a challenge for next month?
I was just saying I'm gonna do something for next month to really reflect cardiovascular, but because we're at the top
And that's in, so it's like a lot of things you tipped on kind of faced a lot of the facts that I had today, because I wanted the facts to kind of line up with your conversation and how health helps limit these issues that we can have on a health wise journey if we start to pay more attention to our health and our wellness. So I really appreciate you coming on, giving us so much feedback and so much information today, Sheika, because this is something that we have to have more control over in our lives. Mm-hmm. We need to be more in control of our wellness. So bringing you on here today so that they can see that there's a woman of color who is based in their area and willing to offer tips, and you can follow her page at On Your Fit, and it's Fit with two T's. On Your Fit, Own. OWNYOURFITT.
Yes.
On IG.
Yes.
You go on her page, y'all. She is on there daily doing, she's either promoting some tips on there. She's showing you guys some videos.
Yeah.
She's actually in the work of doing these things to show you how you can do it. She's giving examples. So follow her.
At home.
So follow her. Sheika, is there any type of outgoing message you want to give them before we jump off?
You know, I just want to encourage everybody to continue to inspire one another. That's just it. I continue to be intentional about the great vibes that we're putting out. And that's well-being. And not even, you know, a particular area, but I feel like if we all are just intentional about putting out things that are going to feed us in a positive way, you know, then we all will grab a little something every day. I grab something every day from somebody. I grab stuff from you on a regular. Your posts are always they're heavy, they have depth, and that, you know, but the point is, if there's that, if we have a depletion of that type of stuff out there, then there's nothing to pull from.
So exactly.
I just feel like we all have that thing inside of us. I'm really big at just, we all have a giant inside of us, often asleep, you know, but it's there nonetheless. And so I just want to encourage everybody to be intentional about putting out great vibes. They're needed and they are contagious, you know, so continue to put it out.
Very true. Thank you so much, Ashika. Thank you to our listening audience. We thank you, Queen, for joining. You know, you always welcome to come back anytime you want to. And Queen C, we miss you for the remainder of the show, baby. But thank you for always tuning in. Anybody that has any questions for Ashika, you can follow her on Instagram. You can find her on Facebook. Do you have a website, Ashika?
I don't have a website just yet. That's in the making. So next month, okay. I'll be promoting that. But on Instagram, at Own Your Fit, as Shelby said, also at Ashika the Lifestylist. Both areas there. And IG and Facebook.
All right, y'all. So check her out. And y'all know one thing about us. We like you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for always tuning in. Keep your head up the remainder of the week. And make sure you do something positive for you. Check y'all out next week. Tune in. Take it easy.